Chapter 26. The winter had passed, spring had passed, and summer had come. Whatever Hiram had felt, he had made no sign of suffering. Nevertheless, his lumpy face had begun to look flabby, his cheeks hollow, and his loose-jointed body shrunk more awkwardly together into its clothes. He was often awake at night, sometimes walking up and down his room until far into the small hours. It was through such a wakeful spell as this that he entered into the greatest, the most terrible, happening of his life. It was a sulphurously hot night in July. The air was like the breath of a furnace, and it was a hard matter to sleep with even the easiest mind, and under the most favorable circumstances. The full moon shone in through the open window, laying a white square of light upon the floor, and Hiram, as he paced up and down, walked directly through it, his gaunt figure starting out at every turn into sudden brightness as he entered the straight line of misty light. The clock in the kitchen whirred, and rang out the hour of 12, and Hiram stopped in his walk to count the strokes. The last vibration died away into silence, and still he stood motionless, now listening with a new and sudden intentness, for, even as the clock rang the last stroke, he heard soft, heavy footsteps, moving slowly and cautiously along the pathway before the house, and directly below the open window. A few seconds more, and he heard the creaking of rusty hinges. The mysterious visitor had entered the mill. Hiram crept softly to the window and looked out. The moon shone full on the moldy, shingled face of the old mill, not 30 steps away, and he saw that the door was standing wide open. A second or two of stillness followed, and then, as he still stood looking intently, he saw the figure of a man suddenly appear, sharp and vivid, from the gaping blackness of the open doorway. Hiram could see his face as clear as day. It was Levi West, and he carried an empty meal bag over his arm. Levi West stood looking from right to left for a second or two, and then he took off his hat, and wiped his brow with the back of his hand. Then he softly closed the door behind him, and left the mill as he had come, and with the same cautious step. Hiram looked down upon him as he passed close to the house and almost directly beneath. He could have touched him with his hand. 50 or 60 yards from the house Levi stopped, and a second figure arose from the black shadow in the angle of the worm fence and joined him. They stood for a while talking together, Levi pointing now, and then toward the mill. Then the two turned, and, climbing over the fence, cut across an open field, and through the tall, shaggy grass toward the southeast. Hiram straightened himself, and drew a deep breath, and the moon, shining full upon his face, snowed it twisted, convulsed, as it had been when he had fronted his stepbrother 7 months before in the kitchen. Great beads of sweat stood on his brow, and he wiped them away with his sleeve. Then, coatless, hatless as he was, he swung himself out of the window, dropped upon the grass, and, without an instant of hesitation, strode off down the road in the direction that Levi West had taken. As he climbed the fence, where the two men had climbed it, he could see them in the pallid light, far away across the level, scrubby meadow land, walking toward a narrow strip of pine woods. A little later they entered the sharp-cut shadows beneath the trees, and were swallowed in the darkness. With fixed eyes and close-shut lips, as doggedly, as inexorably as though he were a nemesis hunting his enemy down, Hiram followed their footsteps across the stretch of moonlit open. Then, by and by, he also was in the shadow of the pines. Here, not a sound broke the midnight hush. His feet made no noise upon the resinous softness of the ground below. In that dead, pulseless silence he could distinctly hear the distant voices of Levi and his companion, sounding loud and resonant in the hollow of the woods. Beyond the woods was a cornfield, and presently he heard the rattling of the harsh leaves as the two plunged into the tasseled jungle. Here, as in the woods, He followed them, step by step, guided by the noise of their progress through the canes. Beyond the cornfield, ran a road that, skirting to the south of Lewis, led across a wooden bridge to the white salt marshes that stretched between the town and the distant sand hills. Coming out upon this road, Hiram found that he had gained upon those he followed, and that they now were not 50 paces away, and he could see that Levi's companion carried over his shoulder what looked like a bundle of tools. He waited for a little while to let them gain their distance, and for the second time wiped his forehead with his shirt sleeve. Then, without ever once letting his eyes leave them, he climbed the fence to the roadway. For a couple of miles or more he followed the two along the white, level highway, past silent, sleeping houses, past barns, sheds, and haystacks, looming big in the moonlight, past fields, and woods, and clearings, past the dark and silent skirts of the town, and so, at last, out upon the wide, misty salt marshes, which seemed to stretch away interminably through the pallid light, yet were bounded in the far distance by the long, white line of sand hills. Across the level salt marshes he followed them, through the rank sedge and past the glassy pools in which his own inverted image stalked beneath as he stalked above. On and on, until at last they had reached a belt of scrub pines, gnarled and gray, that fringed the foot of the white sand hills. Here Hiram kept within the black network of shadow. The two whom he followed walked more in the open, with their shadows, as black as ink, walking along in the sand beside them, and now, in the dead, breathless stillness, might be heard, dull and heavy, the distant thumping, pounding roar of the Atlantic surf, beating on the beach at the other side of the sand hills, half a mile away. At last the two rounded the southern end of the white bluff, and when Hiram, following, rounded it also, they were no longer to be seen. Before him the sand hill rose, smooth and steep, cutting in a sharp ridge against the sky. Up this steep hill, trailed the footsteps of those he followed, disappearing over the crest. Beyond the ridge lay a round, bowl-like hollow, perhaps 50 feet across and 18 or 20 feet deep, scooped out by the eddying of the winds into an almost perfect circle. Hiram, slowly, cautiously, stealthily, following their trailing line of footmarks, mounted to the top of the hillock and peered down into the bowl beneath. The two men were sitting up on the sand, not far from the tall, skeleton-like shaft of a dead pine tree that rose, stark and gray, from the sand in which it may once have been buried, centuries ago. The Book of Pirates,